Hey guys, welcome back to The Ronin Rabbit, a Usagi Yojimbo fan podcast. I am Ed Moore, your host, and there will be spoilers. For contact, you can tweet me at TLTEAL Productions. On Facebook, I post the episodes on the Usagi Yojimbo Dojo page and the Usagi Yojimbo fan page. BigTimeNoise.com/RoninRabbit, the website, and usagipodcast@gmail.com, the email address. Now, be aware, there will be spoilers as I attempt to discuss Usagi Yojimbo Color Classic 2 from IDW, cover dated February 2020. Now, a couple clerical notes here. Well, more than a couple. First off, I apologize for any noise. I may or may not be able to pick it up now as I'm recording. If it is bad, I'll try to take it out in post. I'm sitting on my back porch outside within view of 10 to 15 neighbors that could all provide noise. I can hear a chainsaw. I'm not sure if you guys can. My air exchanger is outside. There's a couple roads relatively nearby. I apologize, but this is where I want to record today, so this is where it's going off. Also, in regards to the... Let's see... First, in regards to Color Classic issue 1 that I discussed I released on February 29th, Steve Hubbell writes, the four-page black-and-white origin tale first appeared in Usagi Yojimbo Volume 3, Number 1, the first issue of Usagi Yojimbo after the move to Dark Horse Comics. It was later reprinted in Usagi Yojimbo Book 10, The Brink of Death, of Life, The Brink of Life and Death, excuse me. So... that color, that takes care of some confusion. Words are difficult. Talking hard. Some confusion that I had in that section of the story from the first Color Classics book. Now, a note about the topic for today, which is Color Classics issue 2. Sorry, I believe I already said that. Anyways, back on November of 2011... Now, the two parts of this issue I have talked about previously. Part 3, which is the first part of this issue, I covered in episode 16 of the show, which I released February 12th of 2012. And the second part, which is part 4, I discussed on episode 13 of the show. I released that November 5th, 2011. So it's been a little while. A lot of what I said, I'm sure I've forgotten. Now, in regards to that, superfan Steve Hubbell, again, writes to help me clear up some confusion that I had then, and it applies now. Just in case anyone might be listening to your podcast while reading the original Usagi Yojimbo comics from Fantagraphics, a couple notes. When Usagi Yojimbo first began its own series back in 1987, the series led off with the 4-issue, 8-part Samurai story, with each of the first 4 issues containing 2 parts of the story. Samurai Part 3, as presented on the podcast here, and also in Color Classics, and the current podcast that I am recording, was not originally part of that story. It was initially published later in the Usagi Yojimbo Issue 6 from Fantagraphics, dated February 1988, under the title The Test. Issue 2 of Usagi Yojimbo, published in September 1987, actually contained what are now parts 4 and 5 of the Samurai storyline. The titles were all renamed when the stories were first reprinted in trade paperback form, along with rearranging some of the bracketing pages of Usagi and Gen talking. So, to alleviate any confusion, I will throw that as worded and said much better by Mr. Steve Hubbell than I could say myself. On to the actual current book, Color Classics Issue 2. The cover is really, really cool. Now, some of you continuity hounds out there, let me know, please, where this cover has appeared before, if it has. Usagi is foreground a ghosty kind of image of Katsuichi in the background. Katsuichi is Usagi's sensei. The Usagi figure, though, he is looking right at us. It's the middle of the book. He's holding his swords down to his sides at 45-degree angles. The swords are turned forehand to us, and there are some leaves blowing across the bottom half of his body. Very imposing, very cinematographic, very much like a scene out of a movie, whatever that word would be. All right, into the story we have Gen and Usagi walking, talking, and attempting to snatch persimmons from a tree because Gen is hungry and they're there and apparently free. So Gen prods Usagi into telling him more of the story. Katsuichi instructed you in the use of the sword as the lead into where Usagi was in his story. So then we go back. We have Usagi and Katsuichi walking. Beautiful background, clouds, mountains, forest, hills. Then our two characters, trees, bushes behind them. In the forefront, closer to us, are grass and flowers. I mean, it's a beautifully, beautifully composed photograph, if that were such. But this is something that is line drawn by Mr. Sakai, the artist. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Also, off here to the right, taking up about a third of our page, is a Tokage. The Tokage are some of my favorite characters in Usagi's universe. I know, you know, maybe that's not the most popular thought to have because, of course, there's nothing wrong with Usagi himself. But I'm drawn to the Tokage and in my mind what they represent. Many times our point of view is what they represent. However, with that being said, we continue on. Usagi is very excited about learning to be a samurai because he gets to fight brigands, going off to war, dueling. And Katsuichi you can tell, he looks at him and just says, "Fool," very forthright and I guess some could say condescending. It's kind of just to me, it's just very forthright. It is his teacher, after all. We continue our walk, and now we're walking across a wooden footbridge in front of a beautiful waterfall. Usagi is chasing after and yelling, "Yah!" some dragonflies as he's trying to smite them with his sword. Well, if it were medieval, he would try to smite. I guess in this time frame, they still tried to smite. I don't know. But either way, he's continuing on now as Katsuichi's continue to talk to him. He's hee-ah as he's trying to stab some spiders on the ground. I think he's trying to stab them. Either way, the spider is running away saying, "Yow," in a little voice as he's running away. Very Gru-ish, if I may throw that out there. So those of you that may not know, check into that and see what the connection is between Mr. Sakai and Gru. It's a really cool connection, I think. My wife, Tooth Gnasher on Twitter, she collects and reads Gru, by the way. No connection really to myself and Usagi. This was something she chose on her own, so very cool. As they continue their walk, they encounter a band of brigands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, looks like. A pig, a bear, a cat, a bear maybe of some sort, and I'm not sure, maybe another cat, as far as the personalities of the creatures. Well, Usagi is not afeared because he has Katsuichi. And verbally, if not physically, he throws Katsuichi out front and starts bragging on him as the teacher and an awesome swordsman, and you better watch out, and really pumps and talks him up. Katsuichi, for his part, extends hand holding the bag of food that they have, their lunch, one would assume, towards the brigands and says, "If you're hungry, you're welcome to our lunch, but leave us in peace." And Usagi is much taken aback. The brigands take the food, and as they're devouring it, they're talking trash, I think as the kids would say nowadays, to Katsuichi. Usagi, not deterred, continues talking up his sensei to the point that finally Katsuichi says, "Hush, Usagi." But no. "Ha! There isn't a test he can't pass," Usagi says after Katsuichi is challenged by the leader of the brigand. So the test proceeds. Turns out that the brigand leader takes a pickled plum from their meal, sticks it with some tree sap to Usagi's nose, and instructs Katsuichi to slice the plum in half. Meanwhile, he holds his sword at Usagi's throat as the additional motivation that Katsuichi may need to perform this test, saying that if he does not, I, the brigand leader, will slit this rabbit's throat. Now, of course, I'm reading thinking, oh, Katsuichi's going to pull out his sword. He's going to swoop and swish and swipe and come down on a horizontal plane in front of Usagi and slice the fruit in half. Well, we have a face-off here. Katsuichi, of course, tells the brigand to release the boy. He's not going to be goaded into this stupid test. But no, the brigand yells, "No, draw your sword, old man! Cut the plum, cut it, I say!" Katsuichi just continues to stare at him, not moving. The brigand is sweating, facially at least, but probably over his whole body, more and more and more, yelling out, "Cut it, old man! Cut it, cut it, cut it, cut it, cut it!" Katsuichi says, "Sensei," as Katsuichi releases his katana. Well, I take that back. One of his swords. I can't really tell if it's a katana. It probably is, being the longer of the two. Yells out, "Hiya!" And we see a whip, whish, whisk, flip, zwip. And then Usagi. I'm so excited. Usagi looks at his nose and realizes that the plum is still there. But the brigand behind him has this look on his face, and then he kind of wobbles and stares up at the sky, and then we see the really cool that Mr. Sakai will be known for later, of course, as this is just an initial story way back. The death's head, the skeletal death's head, denoting the death of a character. So the brigand lies dead on the ground. The other leaderless brigands now realize that they are leaderless, and beat feet, as the kids used to say in the 60s, maybe. I don't know when they said that. I don't know if they ever said that, but there we go. "Let's go, Usagi," Katsuichi says. "But they're getting away. The others are harmless without their leader. A samurai does not kill where there is no need. Didn't you learn anything today?" And Usagi, happily jouncing, bouncing around. Is jouncing a word? I don't know. Bouncing around with his boken. "Yes, Sensei, I learned there are some things even you can't do, like slicing a plum." And off to the side here, we also have a Tokage that's climbing some branches trying to eat a dragonfly. "Speaking of which, it's still stuck to my nose," says Usagi in reference to the plum as he's reaching up. Katsuichi, kia, with his sword, and we see that he slices the plum in a vertical plane in half. The complete opposite of what I assumed he would do. Cuts it in half. They fall to the ground. Usagi kind of bends over and looks as Katsuichi continues walking home. "Tomorrow, you'll learn something new," Katsuichi says. So we cut back to the framing sequence. Usagi and Gen are eating, what was it? Persimmons, I believe. And Gen finishes his and gives Usagi the seed from the persimmon. Says, "Here, put this persimmon seed on your nose and I'll slice it in half." And Usagi looks at the seed. It's very small and says, "This seed?" And Gen, as he's walking away, throws over his shoulder, "No, your nose." And Usagi throws his persimmon, hitting Gen in the head. End of chapter 3. Not really much to add. I enjoy these stories, these young Usagi stories in particular. I don't think we've really had a whole lot recently. I'm pretty sure we haven't had any in the current volume yet, but it's nice to see the younger, playful Usagi, you know, before he started, succumbing to the weight of what will be his world and, of course, the world in which he lives. So, all right, the beginning of chapter 4, Gen and Usagi continuing their walk. Usagi must have either, I don't know, got him another persimmon or picked up the one he threw at Gen, because he's still munching on one. He and Gen are talking, "But what's the story behind Genichi, the samurai you just dueled?" As we recall, that was where our story and our introduction to Usagi opened, is a duel between the two that Usagi obviously won, right? Or the story wouldn't have gone very far. "Well, we were both bodyguards to Lord Mifune. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me start with my first introduction to Genichi and to my lord. I had been with Katsuichi, my sensei, for almost 4 years as he's getting ready to toss the persimmon core to the side. And he's getting, and of course you can't see, but that's why I sound different, because I'm doing what Usagi's doing. And he's trying to get some pulp out of his teeth with his finger. So if you just put the way this sounds along with the picture of that, you'll get a good idea of what Usagi's doing. And I apologize for that. I don't know what prompted me. I already had my finger in my mouth before I realized what I was doing. This is an audio medium, not a visual one, so I need to try to remember that. Back to Kenichi and Usagi, this time on a journey to the Tournament of Swords that is being sponsored by the Dogoro Fencing School somewhere. We don't know where. It is in the northern province because it is still under the auspices of Lord Mifune. But I don't know. I have recently seen some talk on the dojo forums about places and mapping and stuff like that for the story. Interesting, yes, but I have not delved into that to really be able to track or place where this is, other than knowing that Lord Mifune is over the northern provinces, at the very least. So they enter a tent, they being Katsuichi and Usagi, and suddenly another sensei, but with the same crest as Usagi, I believe, or as Usagi will soon wear, as we know him now. He is not... Oh, no, I understand why that is. Okay. He's not wearing a crest now. This is Lord Mifune's crest, and so that's why. We'll get into that as the story in the months progress. But Katsuichi, what are you doing here? Hello, Instructor Jimbei. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. J-A-M-B-E-I. And let me say, I hope I'm pronouncing, of course, any word that it is in Japanese and is foreign to me, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. I certainly am not trying to just throw stuff out there to, you know, get past it or move past it. Anything that I use, any Japanese words that I use repeatedly that I mispronounce, if somebody would please correct me so that I can get that in my head and pronounce them correctly, I definitely mean to. And we'll get into that here in a little bit as I go into a little bit of things that interest me as part of, but outside the story. And again, I apologize. I hear the mowers and the yard trimmers and the leaf blowers and whatnot are starting to come out today. I'm recording this on a Saturday, so everybody is, well, most people are off from work right now for obvious reasons, but people are starting to come out of hibernation. Bah, you don't have even a school. You're a renegade, as I get back to the story. Sorry about that. Real life kind of stuff. This is my student, Miyamoto Usagi. Usagi's bowing. Well, we of the Dogoro Fencing School are sponsoring these matches, and we refuse to let you compete. I believe... Yeah, this is still the same individual. Different frame of reference, so I couldn't really tell. Let's see what Genjiro, the head of your school, has to say. And Katsuichi goes to Genjiro. Welcome, Katsuichi. Jimbei, show them their place in the rank. Thank you, Genjiro. Yes, sir, says Jimbei. And then we have another student here who says, Sensei, why did you allow that fraud to stay? Higashimori, since you are my chief instructor, I'll tell you. And I believe this is certainly the first, and it may be one of the very few times that I can recall a character from Usagi's world being a horse or a horse-like mule, donkey, you know, something of that hoofed, four-legged horse type shape. And I believe that's what this character Higashimori is. Our patron, Lord Mifune, is witnessing this contest, says the sensei. We can't give the impression that we fear Katsuichi or his unusual style. To turn him away would result in a loss of face. So they continue on. We finally see here Lord Mifune as they're all sitting outside of the combat mat. Usagi sees probably what appears to be a very regal presence. Lord Mifune is a tiger. Sensei, who is that? That Usagi is Mifune, Lord of the Northern Province. Lord Mifune, it was my first introduction to he who would one day be my master. This is Usagi telling again in current time. And next to Lord Mifune is Genichi. So there, he's not named and he's not pointed out by Usagi, but he is there. He is the bodyguard, apparently, the number one to Lord Mifune's Captain Picard. Star Trek reference for those of you that may not know. Next Generation, to be specific. Okay, welcome to the Tournament of Fencing, sponsored by the Dogoro School of Bujutsu Military Arts. Wooden swords will be used, the boken, practice swords. The winner of these contests will receive a daisho, two matching swords. That's the definition we're given. Military arts was the definition we were given for bujutsu. The matching swords crafted by the great swordsmith Koetsu. The first match will be between Oshiro of the Dogoro School and Usagi of the School of Katsuichi. So you can suspect that the reason that this was chosen first was that the referee is beholden, probably, to the Dogoro School. Now, that doesn't mean he would cheat, but they know him. They hired him. He could be an instructor there. It's hard to say. But they're figuring to get Usagi out of the way. Now, as they stand and get ready, this is a really cool scene. Usagi is taking a single length of cord and tying it around his torso in such a way to pull up and secure his sleeves. And I'd like to see somebody do this in real life so that I could follow the entire process, but it looks really cool. You are in the first match, Cockroach. Remember my teachings. Yes, Sensei. The samurai follows the code of Bushido. And honor is above all things. And it is technique and spiritual strength that counts. Winning is unimportant. Good. And if you don't win, you'll beat me into a pulp, Usagi says with a smirk. And Katsuichi responds, ha! Excellent. You've learned well. You can almost see the Kung Fu master stroking his very long beard when he said that long part, right? After all of that? Yeah, that was the image that was in my head while I was seeing this image on the book. So, my first match of the day was easily won, Usagi tells Gin. As the day wore on, I defeated all my opponents, making my way up the ranks. Also undefeated was my old comrade Kenichi of the Dogoro School. I watched his technique. It was superb. He had learned well. Kenichi, finally, after one particular battle, turns and acknowledges Usagi. And Usagi stone-faced Kenichi. Kenichi goes up to the horse-face instructor, whose very long name now completely escapes me. Kenichi, you are the last chance to uphold the honor of the Dogoro School. Yes, sir. If I fail, I will leave the school in disgrace and return to my village. Well said. Now hurt this upstart badly. Then came the last match of the day, Kenichi versus Usagi, boken in hand, bowing to each other, drawing the sword, and the battle is on. Several panels. Hiya! Clack, clack, clack. The swirlingness of the sword blade as we are shown the paths that the blades are taken. Finally, Kenichi charges with a hiya! And we see Usagi holding his sword. Takes a step, takes a sidestep, maybe a shuffle, and delivers a riah that fells his foe, Kenichi, his former childhood friend, and will turn out to be the paramour of the love of Usagi's life later on. Kenichi is defeated on the ground at Johnny's feet. No, I'm sorry, at Usagi's feet, Usagi just looking down at him. Later, we see Katsuichi and Usagi are bowing. Well, they're on their knees before Mifune, who is speaking. Congratulations, Miyamoto Usagi. Your skill with the sword is great. I commend both you and your teacher. One with your abilities would be welcome in my service. Now receive your trophies. First, the Wakizashi short sword. No, he didn't say short sword. Short sword is the definition Mr. Sakai gives us. Named Eoyagi, or Young Willow. Then the katana, or the long sword, which is called Yagi no Ida, or Willow Branch. May they serve you well. Thank you, Lord Mifune, Usagi says, bowing, reaching his hands out. And the final panel of Chapter 4 is Usagi, perhaps standing, I'm not sure, but he has both swords in his belt. His sleeves are still pulled up, and he has a very resolute face as we are looking at him. And that ends part 4 of Samurai. Now, a couple things here to finish up. First of all you continuity hounds out there, someone let me know, are Young Willow and Willow Branch still the daisho that Usagi is using? Because if it is, that's pretty darn cool. But I would also like to know. Okay, going through some terms here that we were introduced to and also by extension of this story. Sensei, which is teacher. The Bujutsu, which is the military arts. Let's see what else. The Boken, which are the practice swords that they use. They also used them in this tournament, so I would say maybe they're more than just practice swords, but I think of them as the practice swords as opposed to the real metal swords. Bushido, which is the code of the warrior, dictates how he acts, dictates honor and honorable actions. The Tokage, my second favorite character in all of Usagi's world, behind Usagi himself. Maybe I'll start a side podcast called Tokage. I don't know. But of particular interest overall, but in this episode, this issue too, the Daisho, which are the matching swords. Matching swords, but actually I believe Daisho is more accurately translated Big Little, because that's the comparison of the swords. Now, the big sword, as we know it here in the West, is typically the katana and or maybe a tachi. And there are other examples, but those two are prominently what we will have seen here in the U.S. as part of the Daisho in other media, TV, movies, games, comics, typically. The little, the short sword, the shorter sword, the wakizashi, or the tento, perhaps. Now, the katana and the wakizashi is what Usagi was given as defined by Lord Mifune. Now, some other things that I ran into. Here in the West, in particular, a lot of times we see the Daisho on a nice wooden frame on a desk or mounted on a wall. Those frames and mountings, I believe, are called koshiri, and that is often how we will see the Daisho. And again, the short sword, which is named Aoyagi, Young Willow, and the long, which is the Yagi no Ida, or the Willow Branch. Those are Usagi-specific swords. No one else, it's my understanding, would be carrying Young Willow or Willow Branch. Those are the names of the specific swords. All right, guys, I think that's everything for me. Next episode, let me see, I think I'll be talking about another classic, I guess, shall we call it, Usagi story, that from Dark Horse Volume Issue 40, I believe is where I'm going to go next. So, that being said, thank you. Thank you, Steve, for the information. Thank you, whomever's going to update me on whether the swords are what Usagi still has. That would be cool. I would appreciate that. And I will talk to you guys again next time. Ciao.
The Ronin Rabbit Podcast is a Teal production, and as such, is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.